I'm sure you've heard the word Botox, but are you sure you know exactly what it can do and what it can't do and everything there is to know about it? Well, stay tuned because on this episode of Healthy Her, we're going to talk about all things tox and not just Botox. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, and today we have Becca Buhler, and we're going to talk about all things tox. So thanks, Becca. Thanks for joining us on the
Yeah,
podcast
thank you for
today.
having me.
Okay. Well, before we get into it, I think everybody has heard of Botox, but that's not the only brand of neurotoxin.
Correct. There's Botox and Dysport are the two most common ones that you hear on a day-to-day, but they're also the two that we use at this practice.
Sure. And what we found is, although there are other ones on the market, we're not going to talk about those. We have certainly tried them, but sometimes you just have to stick with what works. Why change it if it isn't broken?
Right,
So,
absolutely.
okay. So, Botox and Dysport can be used really in so many parts. I would actually say from head to toe, but today we're going to just focus on around the eyes or kind of from the eyes up of what these medicines can do for us.
Yeah, so we typically, if someone's coming in and they're brand new to Botox, the first areas that they want to treat are the forehead or the frontalis, between the eyebrows or the 11s, and then around the eyes, the crow's feet. Most common, the big three, they call them.
So this is embarrassing to even say out loud of a doctor that's been involved in aesthetics for 15 years, but I will say even before I got into aesthetics 15 years ago, when I was in my 30s, I didn't even know what Botox could do or and what filler can do. And certainly I realized, you know, that actually isn't that silly of a thing of certainly we get patients coming in and saying, well, can I get filler in these lines in my forehead or between my eyes? And why would you say that, you know what, that's actually not our first go-to? And what would our first go-to be?
I would say that's probably one of the biggest things that people ask. They come in, they have these two lines here that make up the 11s, and they just want to fill it. Well, over time, we have what's called dynamic wrinkles that turn into static wrinkles. So, dynamic wrinkles are the ones that we see when we just make facial expressions. And over time, our face continues to make that crease over and over in the same space. So, those are what become the static lines or the more etched in. Now, neurotoxin is what we use to soften those lines over time, but it's not going to fill an area that's already creased.
Yeah, maybe somebody like you're a little younger than me. I don't see any static lines or what we would call wrinkles
Not yet.
on your face, but maybe, I don't know if you've had talks recently, but maybe if you, I don't know,
A little bit.
can you make the mean face?
A little bit.
Yeah. So a little bit, we would say if you had a line when you furrowed your brow, that would be a dynamic line that
Correct.
comes and goes with movement. But if I'm just looking at you, and I don't see any lines, or if I did see lines, those would be static lines.
Correct. Those are a little bit harder to treat with neurotoxins. That's why it's good to pair with other treatment options in the office once you get to that point.
Yeah. So when somebody comes in, let's talk specifically about the lines between the brow, or we call it the medical term is the glabella, or we've heard it as the 11s because there's two lines right there and it looks like the number 11. And someone's like, I want these lines to go away. What would you say would be your expected treatment plan for just that?
I think that's a great option for Botox and or Dysport, depending on your preference for this area specifically.
So if somebody got and you said, okay, well, that's our first line treatment, how long is it going to take for those lines to go away then?
Well, it kind of depends. If someone is only doing Botox or Dysport consecutively every 3 months, it can take 6 to 12 months to see those start to soften. But if there's at-home treatments they're doing, or if they're pairing it with microneedling or Morpheus, then it can take a shorter amount of time to soften.
Yeah. When we talk about neurotoxins is I know when I've treated people with these medicines before and patients come back a week later, I'm like, but the line is still there. Can you talk about or explain to patients or our listeners of how long these medicines take to work? How do they work and what's the expectation there?
Yeah, so Botox and Dysport are neuromodulators, so they work by acting as a temporary off switch to the signals that tell your muscles to contract. So when we are injecting into the muscle, we're blocking that chemical signal from the nerve to the muscle, which puts it in more of a relaxed state. You can start to see the softening effect in about 3 to 5 days, but full effect is of 2 weeks. So after a full 2 weeks, the muscle will soften and not be moving, but you could still have the lines that are there. And that's why it's important to also pair it with at-home treatments or in-office microneedling, Morpheus, things
right.
like that.
Again, would always try to reiterate this to my patients. If they have those deep 11 lines, you know, and they come back in 2 weeks, they still might be there. It might need several, usually like I used to say a year's worth of mm-hmm. treating that area with a neuromodulator, maybe some at-home treatment until that movement isn't there and your body's filling in collagen. How do you handle it when somebody just has forehead lines and they're like, well, I just want to treat that? I already know the answer to that, but can you explain to our listeners why it's always that might not be the best idea?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. We get that quite often. But the reason why you want to treat the forehead with the glabella is because those muscles move in opposite directions. The forehead muscle is actually the only muscle that's actively lifting your eyebrows, whereas the glabella is pulling your eyebrows in and down. So if we're only treating the forehead and we're preventing it from being able to lift, then you have your unopposed glabella muscles that are pulling down. So that can make you feel heavy. It can make your brows feel a little bit lower, which is often not the look that people want to have.
Yeah. So again, I mentioned you're a lot younger than me. When I look at you, I don't see any wrinkles, but I couldn't see you make the mean face and furrow your black
yes.
brow. So I would assume that you've had neuromodulators before. Why would somebody as young as yourself or somebody in their 30s who doesn't have wrinkles already, why would they want to consider a neuromodulator treatment?
So we've seen more and more people starting younger, usually in their upper 20s, mid 30s, getting baby Botox or preventative Botox. So that is just smaller doses scattered throughout the same treatment areas. And what that's doing is preventing that muscle from continuously contracting to eventually have those static lines or wrinkles that form. So it's just preventative.
Now, when people have seen neuromodulators or we'll just say Botox advertised at X dollars a unit, what does that really mean? And how does somebody price that? If they say, you know, it's $15 a unit, does that mean I can get my glabella treated for $15? Or what does the unit price mean? And if you can talk of how many typical units somebody may need.
Yeah, so when we're talking about units, we're talking about the active ingredient of the medication that is being used. For FDA dosing is actually 20 units in the glabella, 20 units in the frontalis, and then 12 on each side of the crows. But that doesn't mean that that's what everybody gets. So I myself get 20 units in the glabella, but I only get 14 units in my forehead because it's less strong. But then I use 12 and 12 for my crows.
I think all of our practices really individualize it. And, you know, it depends because I actually just got injected today and I can tend to be pretty heavy in my brows. So I need to get a much lighter dose. So I actually only got 8 units in my forehead, but I think I get 30 units in my glabella. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everybody's a little different, but mm-hmm. in general, you can look at what the FDA approved indications are and how many units there are. But as clinicians, we do a lot of things dosing differently off label. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it depends on the strength of the muscle, maybe the size of the forehead or the size of the muscle. So there's a lot of variability with it.
Where is Botox FDA approved for in the body, at least from an aesthetic standpoint? I honestly don't know the answer of where it's approved for medical indications, but for aesthetics, where is Botox FDA approved?
Aesthetically, for the glabella, frontalis, crows, and actually the newest addition has been the platysmal bands.
Yeah, certainly we use these neuromodulators in lots of places off-label. Would you mind just telling people in our Spa Medica practices where else we use Botox, even though it's not FDA approved for those locations?
The most common ones I've seen recently are the chin to prevent that orange peel or dimpling, the DAOs, which is the depressor anguli oris that kind of creates that downturn of the mouth, gummy smile, and then lip flip.
Alrighty, I think we covered everything on neuromodulators. Hopefully, if you didn't know but had heard about Botox or Dysport, hopefully we gave you some more information about probably the most popular treatment in aesthetics. So if you have questions, we'd love to see you in person.